This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Galatians with final warnings and benediction. Then we launch into 1 Peter with intro, born anew to a living hope as obedient children, and the precious blood of Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
The story is familiar. Jesus comes to his disciples as they struggle against the wind and the waves at the Sea of Galilee. He comes to them walking on the sea. What is he revealing about himself by performing this miracle? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Walking on Water in Matthew 14, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What had Jesus done right before this account?
Well, chapter 14 has three items, including part of chapter 13. In chapter 13, at the end of it, he is rejected at his hometown of Nazareth. Then in chapter 14, we hear about the death of John the Baptist at the hands of Herod, because, of course, he wanted to give, well, his daughter, so to speak, Herodias, anything she wanted, because she danced before him and the crowd, and she asked for the head of John the Baptist. And then the disciples came and took the body and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. Then, just before Jesus walking on the water, it says, when Jesus heard this, the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But the crowds heard of it, and they followed him. And when he went ashore, he saw them and began to heal their sick. When it came to be dinner time, the disciples told him to send away the crowds and go and get food in the village for themselves. But Jesus said, no, how much food do we have? And the disciples told him, only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he told the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the loaves and the 2 fish, he gave them to the disciples. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And all of the people were able to eat and be satisfied. In fact, they had 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And it tells us at this time, there were about 5,000 men, besides women and children, who ate from the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Then in verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds and went up on the mountain by himself to pray, which Jesus often prayed to the Father before events that had happened and were about to take place.
What was Jesus revealing about himself by walking on the water?
Well, after he had dismissed the crowds, when evening came, he was there alone. But the disciples on the boat were a long way from the shore, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. Now, what was he revealing to them? It is Jesus who had control over all creation. And obviously, he should have had control, because as John 1 teaches, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and nothing was created that was not created by the Word. In fact, in Genesis 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus said, "Let there be light," and light came into existence. Jesus is the creator of the world, and therefore, he is also God. But the disciples did not recognize that. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear.
How did Jesus respond to their initial reaction?
He immediately speaks to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, that's a wonderful Bible passage for the Sunday school children to memorize, because Jesus not only says that to the disciples, he says that to every one of us. And there's something in that saying that is very important. He says, "Take heart, it is I." And in the original Greek, it's ego eimi, which is also the name for God that Moses was given on Mount Sinai. So Jesus uses God's name when he tells them to take heart and do not be afraid. That is a wonderful message from Jesus to the terrified disciples.
What did Peter do next?
Well, Peter answers him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus says the word "come." Now, we need to remember that the disciples, a number of them were called by Jesus when he told them to come to him and leave their occupation and follow him. So that in his word, it is a promise. If you come to me, then you will receive what you are requesting. And what Peter was requesting was the ability to walk on the water. And sure enough, when Jesus said, "Come," Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. But on the way to Jesus, because of the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink into the waves, he cried out, "Lord, save me."
Why did he begin to sink?
He began to sink because he lost his faith in the words of Jesus and was looking at his experience I'll tell you, this is a great theme for every sermon. In every sermon, we are talking about how people have lost their faith and are not following Jesus. And so the sermon has the goal of bringing them back to faith so that they can follow Jesus. And in Peter's particular situation, it says, when he saw the wind, and some manuscripts say, when he saw the strong wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me.
What did Jesus mean when he said, O you of little faith?
Yes. Immediately, when Peter asked him to save him, Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith. And then he explains why Peter had little faith. He said, why did you doubt? See, this is the explanation in the Bible. What is correct is to have faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. But when we fail to have faith, doubt replaces. It reminds us of Adam and Eve. God told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The devil said, no, if you eat of it, you will become like God. So they doubted the word of God that they would die if they ate of that tree. They went ahead and ate from it, and of course, they became sinners. Tried to hide from God, which was impossible. And they had little faith because they doubted, just as Peter doubted and as many of our members of the congregation doubt when they sin and do what they want to do rather than what God has commanded them to do.
Why is it important that the disciples worshiped Jesus?
Well, it's important because when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, there's no doubt that prophets in the Old Testament that were faithful to God were also considered sons of God. And therefore, they weren't saying that Jesus was God, but he was simply a son of God. And they worshiped him. It's only later, after the resurrection, that they recognize that he truly was God, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God. But they worshiped him because he was able to control creation, and that gave them a kind of faith that he was a really important prophet. As Peter once said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. But they still considered him to be a man, because later, when he stilled the storm, they asked, what kind of man is this that can still wind and water? They still regarded him only as a human being with great powers, to heal the sick, to get rid of demons, etc. But they therefore worshiped him as the Son of God.
How do the Sunday school children worship Jesus today?
They worship him in a more important way, because having been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they have faith not only to believe that he died on the cross for their sins, but that he is God. Even as a human being, he is God and died on the cross, where he as God died in our place. And therefore, as the Sunday school children hear about him, trust in him, and believe his word, they realize that he is more than just the Son of God, as the disciples expressed it, but he is God himself.
What is the law and gospel of this lesson?
Yes, the law shows that when bad things happen in our experience, we get the impression that God is not with us, that he is not holding his hand out for us to take it and have faith. That's in contrast to the gospel, where the promise is that he will take care of us. He will hold out his hand, just as we give our hand to those who are discouraged because of their experience and do not realize that Jesus has not left them at any time. The gospel is that he is with us, that began in our baptism, that his hand goes out to us in every situation, and he takes us by the hand, and we are able to express that which Jesus did, by giving our hand to those who are grieving the loss of loved ones in death, to help them to understand that if their beloved was a believer, they are now in heaven with Jesus, awaiting the day of judgment, when we will all be with Jesus during the time of heaven, forever and ever.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday, April the 16th, we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary, the fourth Sunday of Easter, but it's also the three-year lectionary, Good Shepherd Sunday. So we'll be back in John chapter 10 with Pastor Sean Denzer.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What does it mean to inwardly digest God's Word? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.